Beginning here on the top of Kuf Gimel and Aleph by the Mishnah, the Mishnah says, Kol shela zachah mizbeach bibsara. If the mizbeach does not get the basar of the korban, lo zachu ha-kohanim be'ora, then the kohanim are not entitled to their portion, which is the or, the hide of the animal. Shenemar, so they're quoting the pasuk with regards to the parts of the ola that belong to the kohanim, which is ha-kohen ha-makriv et olat ish, or ha-ola asher yikriv la-kohen lo yiyeh. So the ability of the kohen to get the or of the ola is predicated on the mizbeach getting the basar. Now, the pasuk says, olat ish, ola sha'alta le'ish. It has to be an ola that is good for an individual. Now, the truth is that that's not really a proof to the statement of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says that as long as the basar gets on the mizbeach, then the or belongs to the kohanim. Over here, the proof text is olat ish, ola sha'alta le'ish, which means that an individual got the benefit of that korban, that it was successful providing whatever it was to that individual. The truth is, we're going to see in the next line of the Mishnah that that's not the case, because we have ola shenishchata shlo lishma. If you have an ola that's brought shlo lishma, afal pi shlo alta lebalim, despite the fact that it's not successful at discharging the obligation of the balim, ora the kohanim. The or belongs to the kohanim. That goes to the first line of the Mishnah, which is, if the Mizbeach gets the Basar, the Kohanim get the Or. Over here, the Mizbeach does get the Basar, but the Olat Ish, it's not Alta Le'ish. It's not successful at discharging of the obligation of an Ish, of an individual, because the individual over here does not discharge the obligation, because as we know from the first mission of the Masechta, when you do it Shlo Dishma, even though the Korban is Kasher, it's not Oleh the Baalim. So you have to explain Sheola She'alta Le'ish based on what the Gemara is going to later bring in a Braita, that continues to darshan that pasuk and to say that not only is if it discharges the obligation of an individual, even if it doesn't discharge the obligation of the individual, as long as the korban is kasher. If the korban is somehow pasul, then it won't work and the kohanim will not be entitled to the orot. So you have to explain it in that context. I would have maybe suggested she'alta le'ish. Sometimes we have this, for instance, with regards to ritzei in davening, where we have the safek about ishei Yisrael, whether that's referencing to Ish, Anashim of Israel, or Ishei Israel refers to the Ish, the Ishim, those that are put on the Mizbeach. And you could possibly argue over here the same thing, which is Olat Ish, Olash Altali Ish, that has gone on the Ishim, that has gone on the fire, or the pyre. I think that's a possible explanation. It's not the Pashtut, or the Pasuk, or the Mishnah, but that may be a possible explanation over here. So now, the Gemara says, Echad Olat Ha'ish, Echad Olat Ha'isha. It's irrespective of whether it's an olah that belongs to a man or an olah that belongs to a woman. You might have thought, because it says olat ish, that it's only about the olot of anashim, not about nashim. Nevertheless, the Mishnah tells us that whether it's male or female that's bringing the korban, orotem lekohanim, it belongs to the kohanim. And again, we'll learn that from a riboy in the Gemara. Orot kodashim kalim lebaalim. The orot of kodashim kalim, just like the basar that belongs to the baalim, so do the hides belong to the baalim. Orot kodashim kodashim lekohanim. The hides of kodashim kodashim, which we have no information about from the Torah, they belong to the kohanim. Kal v'chomer. It is a logical argument or a logical inference from olah. Umayim olah shelo zachu b'sara. By the case of an olah where they are not entitled to the basar, zachu be'ora, they are entitled to the or, kodshei kodashim, shezachu be'bisara. In the case of kodshei kodashim, where they are entitled to the basar, it's eaten by the zichrei kuna in the azara, enudin shizku be'ora, certainly they should be entitled to the hides of the kodshei kodashim. Now, the one thing you could have said is that there's a way to undermine this kal v'chomer from the mizbeach, because the mizbeach, in the case of an olah, gets the basara, but doesn't get the or. That's explicit in the Pesukim in the Torah, that the or of an olah goes to the Kohanim. So in a case where you get the basar, it doesn't mean that you get the hide. The Mizbeach is proof of that. Mizbeach gets the basar, and yet doesn't get the or by an olah. But the Mishnah tells us, Ein Mizbeach Yuchiach. Mizbeach is not a way to undermine this Kal v'chomer, Shein lo or b'chol makom. Because it has no relevance with a hide. There is never or that ends up in the Mizbeach. If you had places where or ended up in the Mizbeach, and then in the case of olah, it doesn't go in the Mizbeach, then you have a proof that by an olah, the basar goes on the Mizbeach, and yet it doesn't get the or. But if the Mizbeach never gets or, then there's no proof from the fact that the basar of the olah goes on the Mizbeach, and no or goes on the Mizbeach. Because or is not relevant to the Mizbeach at all. And therefore, it's not a pircha to the Kal Vachomer. So now we're going to bring a series of braitot that are basically going to help us understand the limudim that we saw in the Mishnah. Tanu Rabbanan, olat ish, prat lo olat hekdesh. When it says olat ish in the pasuk, what is that coming to exclude? So here the braitot tells us it's coming to exclude olat hekdesh, which again is somewhat amorphous, ambiguous term. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara will ask, what does that mean? Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Prat lo olat geirim. Comes to exclude the Ola of geirim. Once again, it's not clear here what exactly that means, but he's saying olat ish and not olat geirim. So we have Tanakama, Rabbi Yehuda, suggesting that olat ish comes to exclude the case of olat ekdesh. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda is saying that it's coming to exclude the olat geirim. And now the Gemara is going to ask, what does that mean? My Prat lo olat ekdesh. What exactly does it mean that olat ish, where the Kohanim are entitled to the or to the hide, that's true there. But by olat hekdesh, they're not entitled to the or, they're not entitled to the hide. What exactly is olat hekdesh that they're not entitled? So Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, prat, lo ola haba'a min hamutarot. It comes to exclude an ola that comes from the excess, from those things that are left over. So mutarot are situations in which there is leftover monies. Or in a situation, for instance, where an asham has to be nitak liriya, that has to be go out to graze until it gets a mum and then it's sold, and those monies then are given to what's called the olot nidava. So those olot nidava, which come from excess cash, for instance, if you separated monies to purchase a korban, and you have leftover monies from that, you have a korban that got lost, and you then separated out monies to replace it, and then found the original korban. There are many instances where there are monies that were excesses. Those excesses are then given to the Mikdash and classified as what's called multarot, the extras, and they become olot nidava. They become olot that go on the Mizbeach. So the suggestion here is that olot of a yachid, olot of a ish, they have this entitlement of the Kohanim to the hides, because that's olat ish. Olat hekdesh, where it's coming from the Kodesh side, meaning that the people have given the money to hekdesh in order to facilitate their ability to put olot on the Mizbeach, those olot that have no real ba'alim to them, if they really belong to the tzibur, then the Kohanim there have no rights to the olot, to the hides of those animals. Hanicha l'mandamar motarot l'nitvat tzibur. That works well according to the one who says that these excesses, or these extraneous monies, go towards nitvat tzibur, which is a machloket in the Gemara in Tmura, as to what is the usage of these monies. Do these monies go towards nitvat zibur, or are they nitvat yachid? Now, in both cases, they end up as an ola on the mizbeach. The difference will be, first of all, who has to fund the nisachim that come along with them, the minchat nisachim, and the wine libations that come along with the korban. Who funds that? If they're nitvat zibur, the monies go to the coffers of the zibur, to hekdesh, then the zibur or hekdesh will fund the nisachim. If they come from the yachid, then that person has to then fund the nisachim to be brought along with the korban olah. If it belongs to the yachid, meaning it's an olat yachid, then he does smicha on the animal, because it's his olah. If it's olat tzibur, there is no smicha on the animal. So these are differences that come up in this machloket, as to whether it belongs to the tzibur, or it belongs to the yachid. Gemara says here, anich l'man d'mar motarot nidvat tzibur azle. If you believe that these excesses go towards the shofarot and the mikdash, that then fund the keitz ha-mizbeach, or keitz ha-mizbeach, the times when the mizbeach is batel, that they put these olot on the mizbeach, then this works well. Because over there, it's not olat ish, it is olat hekdesh. It really isn't owned by anybody. There are really no balim to this korban. And therefore it makes sense that maybe the hides shouldn't belong to the kohanim. Bali Tosafot to ask over here that according to the one who says that Motrot Nitvat Tzibur, then how is that different than a case of the Olat Tamid or any of the Korbanot Tzibur that are brought as an Olat? The Bali Tosafot say Beishtamar Disvaru. There is a logical distinction, which is Imutei Tfei Motarot. Makes more sense to eliminate these Motarot that are going towards Nitvat Tzibur. Shim Tayumi Karli Ish, because they once belonged to an Ish. And now they no longer belong to an ish. Therefore, they're precluded from olat ish. On the other hand, the olat tamid, or the korbanot tzibur, which never belong to an ish, they're not going to be excluded from the orot going to the kohanim, just because it says olat ish in the pasuk. If you believe that these excesses or extraneous monies go towards the individual bringing a korban olah, For instance, if he has an asham that nitkapru baleha, so in the case of a chatat, that's meta. In the case of an asham, it's yireh ad sheyistaev, goes out to graze until it gets a mum. Then once it gets a mum, it's sold, and the monies that are garnered from that sale are there put towards an olah. So if you believe that it goes towards an olah teyachid, means that individual will take those monies, purchase an olah, and bring an olah. But then if that's the case, how's that any different than an olat ish? It's similarly an olat ish over here. So ma'ika the meimar. What are you going to say in this case? Kedu amar Rova, like Rava says, ha olah, olah rishona. So Rava interprets the word ha olah, which is brought in the Sukkim with regards to the Trumat HaDeshen, which is, Ve'etam izbeach tu gad bolu techbeh, ve'aleha kohen eitzim baboker baboker, ve'arach aleha ha'olah, ve'ktir aleha chalvei ha'shlamim. So that ha'olah over there has a hey hayiddi'ah, and that ha'olah comes to tell you the olah. The olah is the olah tatamid shel shachar. From that we learn that, varech aleha olah, that all korbanot must be brought on the tamid shel shachar. That means that nothing can go before the tamid shel shachar, but also means that nothing can go after the tamid shel ben aravayim. But you see over there that Rova darshan's the extraneous hay of ha'ola, because it could have just said varecha la'ola. The fact that it says ha'ola, he darshan's from that. Hakanami. So too over here in our case, ha'ola is a hay hayidia, because the pasuk that speaks to the kohen's right over here, it says a kohen amakriv lateish, or ha'ola asher yikriv la'kohen lo'yeh. So once again, ha'ola means the original ola. It means that only something that was mufrash, lechatchila, to be an ola, does the or of that ola belong to the kohen. But something that ends up being an ola, it wasn't originally separated or segregated to be an ola. For instance, the case of an asham that was nitak d'riya, that ended up being an ola, but it wasn't ha'ola. It wasn't originally an ola. It's an ola because something happened to the asham. In that case, the kohenim will not be entitled to the orot of the korban that was changed now into an olah. So in that case, the motorot, even if they are an olat yachid, nevertheless, they will not qualify for the kohanim to get the orot, because they don't meet the standard of or ha'olah. Ha'olah meaning an olah that was already, or the known olah, something that was made as an olah to, at the outset, not something that comes or derives from the motorot, these leftovers, that were then put into the shofarot, in the mikdash, and then used towards the Ketz HaMizbeach. So that's the explanation now of Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Olat Ish, if it's the personal Olah of an individual, then that Olah is subject to the rule that the skins, the hides, go to the Kohen. On the other hand, if it comes to the Motarot, that's not true, because that's Olat Hekdesh. Now, there's two ways to get there. It can be Olat Hekdesh because those go to the Tzibor, and they become the Olot of the Tzibor, and that's why they're no longer Olat Ish. Or it could be not precluded from Olat Ish, but rather from Ha'olah. The fact that the Olat Ish also has to qualify or meet the standard of Or Ha'olah. And since the case of the Motorot doesn't meet the standard of Or Ha'olah, something that was originally designated to be an Olah, therefore the Kohanim in that case will not get the Orot. So no matter which way you hold with regards to the Motorot, it still does not qualify to have the hides be given to the Kohanim. Alright, Rabbi Aibo, Amar Rabbi Yanai, Prat b'mapis ola b'perek habayit. This comes to exclude a case of a person who dedicates the value to perek habayit. So now, in terms of perek habayit, normally you have two options in terms of consecration of things to Hekdesh. You have things which are kodshei mizbeach. Normally those are items that can go on the mizbeach and have the capacity to be put on the mizbeach and are ro'ui the mizbeach. If you're makdish them, they have hekdesh mizbeach, and then they have to be processed in such a manner, brought as a korban, placed on the mizbeach. On the other hand, you have a second mechanism for donating to the mikdash, which is hekdesh perek habayit, which are monies or value that is donated to the mikdash for the upkeep of the mikdash. Exactly what it says here, perek habayit. So now, there is sometimes where they can overlap. So for instance, if you have a korban that is already mukdash the mizbeach, you have an olah, you have a shlamim, you have all different forms of korbanot that are already hekdesh mizbeach. So then, if you now makdish to that animal to perek habayit, well, how can it be makdish something that doesn't belong to you? It already has inherent kedushat mizbeach in it. How are you makdish that value to perek habayit? There is no value in it. All the value belongs to hekdesh already, so what are you being makdish? This is what's known in the Gemara as hekdesh ilui. It's placing of hekdesh on top of something that's already hekdesh. And that is, whatever retained value that you have in the Korban, That is what you're makdish to berek habayit. So for instance, in a case of a korban, where it would go totally to the mizbeach, an olah, where it's hekdesh mizbeach, if you're makdish it hekdesh elui, there is still some residual value that belongs to the balim, and that is that they can choose to which kohen they give this korban to process. And that kohen who brings that korban is entitled then to get the benefits or the matnot that derive from that korban. Because that's not a korban that is shayach to the avodah in the mikdash of the day of the Yom Tov of the regel. These are private korbanot. And a kohen who processes that private korban is entitled to take those items. So now the Yisrael carries a certain amount of value in that, since he can distribute the olah to whomever he chooses. That value is something that he can then, first of all, monetize. He can sell it, and since he can monetize it, it has value that he can be makdish to berek habayit. Or in a case where the person dedicated this as a neder, which means that they're obligated to see that the korban reaches the mizbeach, and if it got lost, then he'd have to replace it. So in that case, he's makdish to berek habayit, the actual value of the korban. Because the korban itself, even though it's kodshei mizbeach, has monetary value to him, because if it's lost, he's going to have to replace it completely. On the other hand, if he donates it as a netava, where he's not responsible to replace it, in that case, there's no value to him in the korban itself reaching the mizbeach, because he doesn't have to replace it if it gets lost or something happens to it. There still might be some value in terms of the hana'ah that he gets from the korban that he dedicated reaching the mizbeach, but more importantly, there's the tovat hana'ah, which is his power to give this korban to whoever he chooses. So what the Gemara is speaking about is exactly that scenario where he's makpis olah to berek habayit. He gives the value of an olah to berek habayit. Again, the olah is valueless because it belongs to kodshei mizbeach. But there's certain aspects of the olah that are still retained that will go to berek habayit. One of them we just described, which is what's called tovat hana'ah. It's the ability to decide who is going to get the korban. The second value that you have there is the orot, the hides that are not part of kodshei mizbeach, because they do not go on the mizbeach. Those hides also could be dedicated to the berek habayit. Now, what's interesting about that is that the hides belong to the kohanim. So how can you be makdishit if it belongs to someone else? The answer to that is that the kohanim don't possess the hides until the korban is put on the mizbeach. Before the korban goes on the mizbeach, the kohanim don't own the hides or don't have ba'alut over those hides. So when you're makdish them, the berek habayit, then you've actually now given to berek habayit not only a tovat hana'ah, but also the value of the hide that would otherwise now be given to the kohen. Now you've dedicated that to berek habayit. So now the Gemara says, lo mi bayi lemadamar kodshei berek habayit tafsei midoraita. I'm not only speaking according to the one who says that when it comes to this hekdesh of kodshei berek habayit that sits on top of a kodshei mizbeach, that that's a din d'oraita, because there certainly, when you are makdishit leberek habayit, it's tofes. And then the hides are now dedicated to berek habayit, belong to hekdesh, and the kohen doesn't have a right to take it away from hekdesh. Ela afilu aman da'amar lo tafsi, even according to one who says they're not tofes, our Gemara here reads lo tafsi, which would make it sound like they're not tofes, the gamre, means it has no impact whatsoever on the animal. The way that Rashi reads it over here is lo tafsi midoraita. They don't say tofes midoraita, but rather they're only tofes midorabanan. Rashi is doing that to reconcile this with the Gemara in Tmura, which has a makloket between whether it's tofes midoraita and tofes midorabanan. So in order to have the Gemaras be parallel, that there's a daya that says doraita and derabanan, Rashi reads over here that it's lo tafsi midoraita, but it's tafsi midorabanan. If you read it as lo tafsi klal, then you have either three shitot, or you have a machloket a sugyot between our sugya here and the sugya in Tmura, because over here the alternate opinion is that it's not tofes in our Gemara. In the Gemara in Tmura, it's the alternate opinion is that it's tofes midorabanan. And as Rashi explains over here, the Gemara in Tmura brings the fact that amatpis ola de berek habayit asur leshochta. You're not allowed to shecht it ad shetifteh, until you actually redeem it. And if that's the case, it sounds like the berek habayit is tofes midoraita, because we're blocking your capacity to shecht it. Elim kain, you redeem it. Sounds like there is something to redeem over here. There's value that took hold over here. So that's a question on the position of Ula, who says that there is no hatpasa berek habayit. The only thing you have is ikuv gizbarim bilvad, The Gizvarim can try to hold it as collateral, but they don't have any real rights over here, or there's no really monetary hekdesh that took place over here. So Gemara challenges Ula from that statement that when it comes to Mafis Ula, the Bedek Abayit, you can't shecht it until you redeem it. And he answers that that redemption or pidyon that is needed is a pidyon midrabanan. It's not a pidyon midoraito. So that gives you the two sides of the machloket here. There's someone who believes you have to redeem this midoraito, and there's someone who thinks you have to redeem it midrabanan. And if you have to redeem it midoraita, that means that it was topeface midoraita. And the one who thinks that you don't have to redeem it midorabanan thinks that it was only topeface midorabanan. Midoraita, it was not topeface, but midorabanan, it was topeface. Either way, you would have thought possibly, since the tfisa is not a tfisa deoraita, to block the rights of the Kohanim, then you would have thought that that's possibly something that the Kohanim could override in some way. That's hani mile babasar. That's only true with regards to the flesh of the animal. Aval or tafis. On the other hand, by the or, even the one who says that the hekdesh berakabait does not take effect on the animal itself, because the animal itself has hekdesh misbeach, and therefore you can't place this hekdesh berakabait on top of it, but by the or, where the hekdesh misbeach, or the misbeach itself has no rights in it, even the one who says normally it's not tafis, by the or say it is tafis, and that will block the Kohanim's right to the or. And that's his explanation of Rabbi Yehuda. When it says ulat ish, prat ulat hekdesh, that's exactly what it means. It's the ulah of an individual. Any normal ulah that is put on the mizbeach, that or will go to the Kohanim. And if it's ulat hekdesh, where the or has already been dedicated, been consecrated to Berek HaBayit, those orot will not go to the Kohanim. Because that was tofes before the animal was put on the mizbeach. And that tfisa is strong enough to block the Kohanim's rights. That's what Gemara here says. Even according to one who says that this hekdesh berek habayit is only tofes midrabanan, that's only true with regards to items that go to the mizbeach. Items that don't go to the mizbeach, he agrees that it's tofes even midoraita for that mandama. And as the Rashi phrases over here, aval or delav mamon mizbeachu val Kohanim akati lo zachi bei tofus. That it does take effect in kodesh berek habayit will take effect over here. Although, as the Balei Tosafot point out, it's a little strange, because according to the one who says it's tafis midoraita, why do you need a pasuk at all? Because we have a principle with regards to Bedek HaBayit that it requires hamada baracha. It has to be able to be stood up and assessed to tell the value of what you need to give to Bedek HaBayit. Once the animal has already been shechted, once the animal is already dead, you can't do hamada baracha. And therefore, there's no way that the Kohanim are going to get the Orot in this case, because nowhere to release the Kedusha from them to grant them to the Kohanim. So then why would you have a Hamamin that goes to the Kohanim, and why do you need a Miut then to tell you that it doesn't go to the Kohanim? Although you could argue that the fact that the Kohanim had rights to the Or in the Korban precludes your ability to be Matpis on them, the Berek HaBayit. So the Pasuk comes to teach you that that Hatpasa is successful, and it does block the Kohanim's right to the Korban. And so it's telling you, despite the fact that the Kohanim have rights to the Or, those rights only kick in at a later time, and therefore the Hatpasar, Berek HaBayit, precedes their rights in the Or, and then it blocks their ability to get access to that Or afterwards. And that's the Chiddush of Ulat Ish, not Ulat Hekdesh. It's actually teaching you that, that the Orot are sufficiently not belonging to the Kohanim at that point in time, that you can't be Makdish them, the Berek HaBayit, and it will be Tofes. So now you have two different explanations as to the understanding of what Rabbi Yehuda said in the Braita, but Olat Ish, Prat, Olat Hekdesh. V'chein amar Rav Nachman, amar Rav Avua, Prat, Olat, Haba'a min HaMutarot. He gives the same explanation that we saw from Rav Chia Bar Yosef before. Rav Nachman, amar Rav Avua, gives that same explanation. So Amar Rav Amnuna, the Rav Nachman, Kiman. Who are you subscribing to? In your explanation here, who are you explaining this according to? To Rabbi Yehuda. You're clearly explaining it according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Ulat ish prat ulat hekdesh, ha hadar bay. He retracted his position. The Tanya, shisha l'nidava. So the Mishnah in Shkalim tells us that there were 13 shofarot in the Mikdash. They were the equivalent of stucco boxes that were narrow at the top, wide at the bottom, so people could put coins into them. 6 out of those 13 were l'nidava, were for items that were going to be put on, ketz ha-mizbeach, for Korbanot Ola. And the shofarot included Taklin Chadatin, the new Chatzis Shekel that you were bringing in. Taklin Atikin, Chatzis Shekel of last year that you didn't bring. Kinin, those who have to bring birds, gozle ola, someone who brought a nidava of birds, they puts the money into this canister. Eitzim, he promised or dedicated eitzim to the mizbech. Livona, frankincense. Zahav la kaporet, he dedicated gold for the kaporet. So then, in addition to those seven that we just enumerated, there's six nidava, which are associated with different things that we explained before that end up in these situations, including a sham shenitak d'riyah, and a chatat that has excesses associated with, if it was lost and has excess money. There's a makloket there in shkalim as to what exactly are going to those six, but those are shisha l'nidava. The ola me'ba min amutarot. Those are used for the olot that come from the excesses. Shelo yu kohanim zaka'in be'ora. The reason that they do that or place them in there is because they're different than a normal ola. A normal ola, the kohanim are entitled to the or. When it comes to these olot, the kohanim are not entitled to the or. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says over here there were six that were separate. Amar lo Rabbi Nechemya, v'amri lo Rabbi Shimon. So then he's challenged by his peers, either Rabbi Nechemya or Rabbi Shimon. Im kein bitalta midrasho shel Yehoyada ha-kohen. If that is the case, then you have eliminated the drasha of Yehoyada ha-kohen, who is the kohen gadol that appears in the Haftorah that we read for Parshat Shkalim. The story is told twice, once in Melachim Bet, and also in Divrei Hayamim, with slight differences between them. We spent much time on that in Masechet Shkalim, determining or trying to understand the differences of the Lashon in each of those. He was in the time of Yoyash, the king Yoyash, who came to power when he was very young, and Yoyada Kohen Gadol was his advisor and helped him along. And then once Yoyash got older, he charged Yoyada Kohen Gadol shaping up the Mikdash and making sure that the monies that were brought by the people went to Bedek Abayit. And then as part of that it says, Kesef Asham, Kesef Chataot, Lo Yuva Beit Hashem, La Kohanim Yiyu. The monies that were dedicated for the Asham and the Chatat will not be brought to the Beit Hashem. Instead, they will go to the Kohanim. Now that's impossible because Asham and Chatat don't go to the Kohanim. So then, the drasha of Yoyada HaKohen is, it's not the Mishnah, Zeh Midrasha Darash Yoyada HaKohen. This is the Midrash that Yoyada HaKohen was Doresh. Asham Hu, Ashom Asham La Hashem. So the Pasuk has two statements. It has one as an Asham Hu. If it is an Asham, then the Asham belongs to the Kohen, because that we have, Kachatat, Kasham, Torah Chatahem, a Kohen Asheyichaper, Bo, Lo Yiyeh. So we already have the fact that if it's an Asham, it belongs to the Kohen. But then the Pasuk ends off with, Ashom Asham, La Hashem, that the Asham belongs to Hashem. So how could it be that an Asham belongs to Hashem and belongs to the Kohen? Koba Mishum Chatat, Mishum Asham, anything that comes because of a Chatat, or because of an Asham, which is what the Pasuk in Melachim Bet, Perek Yud Bet, Pasuk Yud Zayin says, that Kesef HaChatat and the Kesef of the Asham will not be for Beit Hashem, but rather to the Kohanim. That's a situation where the Chatat and the Asham, something happened, and now those excesses are Yilakach Bo Olot. They purchase with those Motorot Olot, and when it comes to those Olot, a Basar Lashem, Ora LaKohanim. The Basar goes to the Mizbeach, which is to Hashem, and the Or, the Hide, goes to the Kohanim. So in that way you accomplish both parts of the Pasuk. Asham Hu, that goes to the Kohanim, that's the Or. The Asham Asham Lashem, that is the Basar. It's not true by an Asham itself, but it is true by an Asham that then was converted into an Ola, or similarly with a Chatat that was converted into an Ola. Over there you do have this participation, and that's the meaning of the Pasuk in Lachim Bet, that the Kesef Asham and the Kesef Chatat, Lo Yiva Beit Hashem, the Kohanim Yiyu. Kohanim Yiyu doesn't mean that they belong to the Kohanim, it's going on the Mizbeach. But the Orot will belong to the Kohanim. If that's the case, then Rabbi Yehuda is disproved from his position that the Olot Nidava that went into the Shofarot and Nidava, those hides did not go to the Kohanim. Over here you have the Drush of Yoyada Kohen. It says that they do go to the Kohanim. And that's not distinct from Olat Ish. So Amalei Elamar B'may Mukimla. So if Nachan says to Rav Amnuna, oh, if that's the case, how do you explain Olat Ish, what it's coming to say? Amalei Mukminele B'makdish Nechasav. I explained it in a case where the individual was makdish all of his possessions. So an individual says, I'm makdish everything I own to Hekdesh, Kiddur Rabbi Yeshua, and following the position of Rabbi Yeshua, it's none. We have a Mishnah in Shkalim, Hamakdish nechasav, someone who dedicates all of his property, all of his possessions to Hekdesh, v'yubem v'emot aruyot l'gabei mizbeach. If he has within his possessions animals that are ra'oy the mizbeach, these are things that could be korbanot, zicharim unikevot. Some of them are male, some of them are female. Rabbi Eliezer omer, zicharim imachru l'tzorchei olot, that the zicharim, the male korbanot, will be sold, and the proceeds from them will be then dedicated to Bet HaKabayit or to Hekdesh, but they will be sold to people who need to bring olot on the Mizbeach. So you'll sell them to individuals who are bringing olot, and then the proceeds from that will be dedicated to Bet HaKabayit. Nikevot, the females cannot be sold as olot, but rather imachru l'tzorchei zibchei shalmehem. They will be sold for shlamim, meaning people who need to bring a korban shlamim will purchase these from this individual. Udmehem iplu imshar nechasin lebedekabayit. And as I already said, the monies or the proceeds from these sales go along with the rest of his possessions to bedekabayit. Rabbi Lanzer's position is premised on the fact that when a person is makdish something, he is makdish to a singular destination or a singular recipient. And over here, what he's suggesting is that the only recipient he meant when he was makdish his possessions was bedekabayit. And therefore, none of these end up in the mizbeach. They're sold to people to use them because you're not allowed to be makdish Bet HaKabayit tmimim. So those tmimim are then sold to be used as kochei mizbeach, but the proceeds go to Bet HaKabayit. Rabbi Yeshua, on the other hand, is of a different opinion, and he believes that people do are makdish different aspects of their possessions to different destinations, that they will be makdish part of it to Bet HaKabayit and part of it to the mizbeach. So he says, Omer, zecharim atzmam yikruvu alot. They themselves will be put on the mizbeach. Nikevot, the female animals, yim kiru l'tzorchei shlamim. They will be sold for shlamim. So even though he believes that the animals can go to kodshei mizbeach, he still distinguishes between an ula and a shlamim. That is because an ula, the entirety of the animal goes on the mizbeach. On the other hand, when it comes to a shlamim, only a portion of it goes on the mizbeach. And we're looking into the mindset of this individual who is makdish, all of his possessions to Hekdesh. He intended for them to go in their totality to Hekdesh. So just like by Bet HaKabayit, he meant for all the monies to go to Bet HaKabayit, so do like Kodesh Mizbeach, he intended for them to go completely to Hekdesh. So that can be done with regards to Olot, but in the case of Shlamim, that is not the case. So by Olot, he'll take the animals and put them on Mizbeach as Olot. By Shlamim, he will sell the animals, but Yabid de Mehem, Olot. And then he will take those proceeds and purchase Olot. And then those Olot will go on the Mizbeach. And the remainder of his possessions will go to Bet HaKabayit. Ve'afilu, the Rabbi Yeshua, Damar, Adam Cholek, Hekdesho. Even according to Rabbi Yeshua says that a person will bifurcate the recipients of his Hekdesh, meaning that part will go to Kodesh Mizbeach, part will go to Kodesh Bet HaKabayit. Hani Milei Basar. That's only true with regards to the flesh of the animal. Aval Or Tafis. When it comes to the Or, Bet HaKabayit takes effect over there. So even though Rabbi Yeshua believes that those animals that are zecharim go on the Mizbeach, nevertheless he says that the hides of those animals don't go to the Mizbeach, they go to Bet HaKabayit. And so now you've simulated that case that we had before when a person was makdish to Bet HaKabayit. Here he does it in a different manner, but ends up with the same result, which is that he was makdish all his possessions. So those zecharim, according to Rabbi Yeshua, end up on the Mizbeach, but the orot still belong to Bet HaKabayit, and the Kohanim will not get possession of them. And that's how he explains Rabbi Yehuda's position, where it's Olat Ish and not Olat Hekdesh. Over here, the Orot will not go to the Kohanim. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he was the alternate opinion over here, Frat Lolat Gerim. He comes to say that it comes to exclude Olat Gerim. Amalei Rav Simai Bar Chilkai L'Ravina, Atu Ger Lav Ishu? Why is a Ger not included? Why is a Ger not an Ish? What makes a Ger different than Olat Ish? So why should you exclude Olat Ger? The Amalei Prat Ger Shemait. Now we're speaking about a case of a ger who passed away, ve'ein lo yorshim, and he has no inheritors. A ger, unlike Israel, who has no inheritors, has no family then. And all of his possessions become basically hefker. Any Jew who passes away always has yorshim. Because if you go all the way back up to the level of the Shvatim, at some point he's related to someone from Klal Yisrael. But a ger who has terminated his biological familial relationships, his yichus now starts, he is the starting point of his yichus. So if he has yorshim, then he has relatives that are yorishim. But he has no yorshim, then he has nobody to inherit him and his items are hefker. So that's what it means. Olat ish, olat that belongs to someone,
and not ulat ger shemeit, which is basically an ulat hefker, where there's no ba'alim, there's no owner of the korban ulah. In that case, the kohanim are not entitled to the or. Tan rabbanan ulat ish ein li ala ulat ish. That's only true of an ulah that is brought by a man. Ulat. Now over here, the word gerim is very difficult. Rashi takes it out of the girsa, and he says it should be ulat nashim ba'abadim. Skip the word gerim, because otherwise you could ask the question we asked before. Ger lav ishu? Ger is also an ish. So gerim, similarly, do not belong over here. Some say it's just brought agrav gerora, which is that many times we find gerim, nashim, ba'abadim brought together as a package in the Mishnah. So gerim were thrown in here, even though it's not meaningful. If you look on the margin by Mesorat HaShas, he brings the girsa, what seemingly is the girsa of the Rambam, which is that he had Ovdei Kochavim. So that was, I only know about Olat Ish, Olat Ovdei Kochavim, Nashim Vavadim Minayin. How do I know they also, those orot, go to the Kohanim? Tamal Omar, Or Ha'ola Riba. So there's a riboy in the Pasuk, because it could have just said Ora, or it could have said Or Olato, when instead it says Or Ha'ola. The fact that it says ha'ola and it says or ha'ola, those are a riboy. The first riboy is that it includes nashim, avadim, and if you think that the girsas of dekuchavim, if they bring in a korban ola bin a davah, the kohenim get the hide. Im kein matom olamar olat ish. So then what's the point of having olat ish? Ola shalta the ish. It is an ola that goes and is successful at being an ola for the balim that brought it. Prat. That comes to include a case of nishkata chutz lizmana, something that had a makshevet pigol of chutz lizmano, or chutz limkoma, or chutz limkomo. Shaloyu kohanim zakim ba'ora. Kohanim there will not get the or, because the korban is not successful at being an ola for the ish, for the balim. It's already pasul, and the balim get no credit for the korban that is brought. Yachol, if that's the case, she'ani mirabeh she'nishkata shalo lishma, I would include. Now, include means I would include in the miut. Or you can see the alternate girsa is shani mima'et. I would also exclude a case of shenishchata shelo lishma. This goes back to what I discussed in the Mishnah about the fact that if you say olat ish, that it's successful at the balim discharging their obligation, then olat shelo lishma should not grant the kohanim rights to the or. And that's exactly what the Braita says over here. You would think that shenishchata shelo lishma also has no entitlement of the kohanim to the orot. Away over below Altal Balim, because it's not successful at discharging the obligation of the Balim. Below Yehu Kohanim Zakim Ba'ora. And therefore the Kohanim will have no rights to the Or. Tamal Omar Or Ha'ola Mikol Makom. That we have this additional reboy of Or Ola to tell you no matter what, the Or Ha'ola goes to the Kohanim. So again here, there are other ways you could have phrased it. And the fact that it didn't rephrase it that way now gives you extraneous language, and that extraneous language is what they're darshaning over here. So it may not be the word, the hay itself that they're darshaning. It might be the excess. First of all, instead of saying or ra, it said or ha'ola. And then instead of saying or olato, it just says or ola generically, rather than olato, his ola. So both of those give you the right to the limut. So it's really this continuation of the braita that is what the Mishnah was referencing to, when it said this is the proof to the fact that in the case of an olah shelo lishma, the orot go to the kohanim. In a case where it's an olah psula, the orot don't go to the kohanim. Or ha'olah, en le'ela or ha'olah. So now, if I read that literally, the Braita says, or olah means only the orot, the hides of olot, go to the kohanim. Orot kodshei kodeshim minayin. How do I know that the hides of kodshei kodeshim also belong to the kohanim? Tamal omar, or ha'olah, asher hikriv. So then you have the additional language of asher hikriv, which makes it sound like kol ha-korbanot. Anything that goes on the mizbeach is included over here. Well, if that's true, yachol shani mirabe af kodshim kalim. So then why is it just kodshim kodeshim? Even kodshim kalim should be included. Tamal omar ola. So there the word ola anchors you and says, ma ola kodshim kodeshim, af kol kodshim kodeshim. So the ola qualifies the asher hikriv, and tells you that the asher hikriv has to be domeh, the ola, which means that it's kodshei kodeshim. That's the way that the Tanakama learns the fact that the hides belong to the kohanim, both by the ola, which is explicit in the pasuk, as well as by the kodshei kodeshim, which is a limud from asher hikriv, and kodshim kalim, it does not belong to the kohanim, because here the pasuk says ola, And Asher Kriv has to be Domed Ola, it has to be Kodshei Kodeshim, by Kodshim Galim, the Baalim get the Orot and not the Kohanim. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Rabbi Shmuel has an alternate way to learn this. Or Ola, in the Ola, Ola. I only know about the Ora of the Ola. Orot Kodshei Kodeshim Minayin. How do I know that Kodshei Kodeshim, also the Orot Kodekohanim? V'dinu, Ma Ola Shalom Zachu Bivsara, by the Ola where they have no rights to the flesh of the animal. Zachu be'ora, they were entitled to the hides. Kodshei kodeshim, shezachu b'vsaran, where you do have the rights to the basar, then enu din, shezachu be'oran, then certainly they should be entitled to the or in that case. But then Rabbi Shmuel brings, v'izbeach yuchiach. Maybe the izbeach would dissuade you from thinking that. Shezachah be'basar, by the ola, the izbeach gets the basar, below zachah be'or, but does not get the hide. The Mizbeach never gets the or at all. The Kohanim, we do find that there are times where they get the or, for instance, in the case of the Ola, which is explicit in the Psukim. So therefore, the Mizbeach can't be a disproof to the logic that we're dictating by the Kohanim. So that's phrase and hold, Zachu b'miktsat, Zachu b'kulei. Since in certain instances they get the or, so too in other instances, like the case of Kodshei Kodeshim, they will also be entitled to the or, where there's more reason to believe that they have rights to the or than in the case of the ola. This is basically a more expanded version of our Mishnah. Rabbi Omer, kol atzmo lo tzrachnu ela leor ha'ula bilfad. The only reason you need the pasuk is to tell you that the hide of the ola goes to the kohanim. Because without that pasuk, we would have known everything else. The only reason we need that pasuk is to tell us about the or ha'ula. The reason being is, Shebechol makom ha'or me'aleich achar basar, because in every instance the hide follows the flesh. Parim nisrafim usurim nisrafim. When it comes to the chataot apnimiot and the chatat of Yom Kippurim, so that's the serim and the parim of Yom Kippurim, the serim nisrafim, parim nisrafim. There hein v'orotehem nisrafim imahen, meaning the basar and the orot are burnt together. Again, the orot follow the basar. Chatat v'asham. They belong to the grain. Ratzu mafshitin utam, lo ratzu ochlim utam agav oran. They have a choice. Since they belong to the grain and the basar is going to the grain, they can either flay the animal, separate away the hide, and then eat the basar, or if they wanted to, they can eat the basar agav oran. They can leave it attached to the or, and they can cook it together with the basar, and eat it along with the basar. It's their choice. It belongs to them. Kodshim kalim lebaalim. Kodshim kalim belong to the baalim. Ratzu mafshitin utan. If they want, they can flay them. Ratzu ochlim utan agav oran. Or if they so choose, they can eat it with the skin or the hide still attached. So since they have the right to the basar, and the or can be taken along with the basar, then they can also make the choice to take the or away and use it or utilize it any way which they like. So you see here that in every situation, basar and or are similar in their din. When it's nisrafim, they're both nisrafim. When it's nechal kohanim, they're both given to the kohanim. When it's nechal balim, they're both given to the balim. Aval ola, you have a problem. Nemar ba, bifshit et hola, v'nitach ota v'nitachea. It says you will flay the animal, and then you will quarter it into its pieces. So now, the Torah tells you to put the nitachim on the mizbeach, but it never tells you what to do with the or. Yocho lo yuhi kohanim zakiin ba'orah. So you would think that maybe the hide would not belong to the Kohanim. Tamalomer, that's what our pasuk teaches you. Or ola, asher yikriv, the or ola that is placed on the Mizbeach, that will belong to the Kohanim. So from there you learn that the Kohanim are entitled to the or of the ola, and this is the only place where the basar and the or do not go to the same place. The basar goes to the Mizbeach, the or goes to the Kohanim, and that's why you need a specific pasuk to teach you that limud. So then it says, lo yeh, it will belong to the Kohen. Prat l'tvuyom u'mukusar kipurim va'onein. Lo yeh means that the Kohen is entitled to the or, but then it excludes a tvuyom, mukusar kipurim and onein, like we've seen before. Shechol lo yisku b'basar. You would think possibly they do not participate in the basar, shul achila, because the purpose or the utility in the basar is consumption. They are precluded from consuming kodashim. So maybe that's where they are precluded from chalukah, or participating in the chalukah, because they are not ru'uyim le'achila. But yisku ba'or, she'enu le'achila. Maybe they should be entitled to the or, because the purpose or the utility of the or is not for consumption, but rather for hana'ah. So maybe over there, they're not precluded from that because their tum'ah is associated with the problem in achilah. It's not a problem with getting hana'ah. Tamad lomar, lo iyeh. That's what the lawyer comes to teach you. Prat mechuser kippurim utvuyom ba'unein. Meaning that the one who is makriv, the one who can't do akrava, lo iyeh. The orb will belong to that individual. And since the tvuyom, the mechuser kippurim and unein can't do the hakrava, they're also not entitled to the orb that comes as a gift to the Kohanim. The Tanakama, Nami Tipukle Mitina. The Tanakama, why doesn't he subscribe to the Kal V'chomer that was brought by Rabbi Ishmael? Why does he have to go through a specific limud of Or Allah Sheikriv and use the Psukim to teach you the fact that the Kodshei Kodashim are included? Why doesn't he just say it from the Kal V'chomer that Rabbi Ishmael suggested? So Gemara answers, Milta Da'achi B'Kal V'chomer, Torach V'Kotav Lakra. Sometimes, someday, you can learn logically from a Kal V'chomer, the pasuk goes out of its way to write it anyway. Rabbi Shmuel, Hi Asher Hikriv, my Ovidle. Rabbi Shmuel, what does he do with the Asher Hikriv? The Tanakama uses the Asher Hikriv to teach him about Kodshei Kodashim. Rabbi Shmuel learns it from a Kal V'chomer, what does he do with the extraneous words of Asher Hikriv? So he uses that, Prat L'tvul Yom, U'mukhusir Kippurim V'onei. He uses it to exclude those that are precluded from being in the Chalukah, of the Orot, because Asher Hikriv, they have to have the capacity to do Hakrava, and Tvoyom, Chusuk Kippurim, and Onein can't do that. But typically, me lo yeh. Why didn't he learn it out from lo yeh, like Rabbi did? Why does he have to learn it out from Asher Hikriv? Rabbi Shmuel Tame, Rabbi Shmuel's Shitato, something that we already saw earlier. Dam Rabbi Yochanan Mishun Rabbi Ishmael, Nemer Bo'ula lo yeh. The post of that we have been speaking about throughout this daf, which is the entitlement of the Kohanim, to the olam, a kohen, a makriv, a ladish, or a olah, sheikriv, la kohen, lo yeh. We also have the pasuk, which we quoted before, about the asham, which is kachatat, kasham, torah, chad, mahem, kohen, a sheikhaper, bo, lo yeh. So, Rabbi Yishmael, as we saw earlier in the sefta, says, there's a gzei reshava. There's nemar, bo, la, lo yeh, nemar, ba, sham, lo yeh, malahalan, atzmutav, mutarim. Just like over there, the atzmot, the bones, are mutarim. Afkan, atzmutav, mutarim. So too over here, the atzmot of mutarim, meaning that just like by the asham, the atzmot of mutarim, so too by the olah, the atzmot of mutarim, the hanah or mutarim, the kohanim. We saw the machloket between the Rebbeim of Rashi, who said that that was obvious by the asham, because it's Eden. Of course, if it's Eden, then the bones are open to hanah for the kohanim. And that's why the lo yeh of asham teaches you the lo yeh of the olah. Or the limud of Rashi, which is that the extraneous language of lo yeh by asham is what teaches you this din by asham. And then from Hashem, we learn to all the other korbanot, the fact that the atzamot are mutarim, but it really comes from the extraneous lashon of lo yeh. So that's the limud that Rabbi Shmuel uses lo yeh for. So mufne, as we said earlier, it has to be that these words are extraneous to allow for the gzera shava, because ilo mufne, if it was not that they were extraneous words, igal mifrach, then you have a way to undermine gzera shava, which is mala Hashem, shukei basaro mutar. So that, how could you prove anything from an asham to an olah? An asham to basar is mutar, so maybe that's why the atzamot are also mutarim to the kohen, or also belong to the kohenim. But by an olah, where that's not the case, maybe not. So lo yeh, krat yateruhu. So lo yeh is extraneous, and when it's extraneous, you have a gzer shava that doesn't have to stand the test of logic. It's a gzer shava that can even override logic, or even go against logic, because it is a gzer shava. When you have a gzer shava that's not mufnei, then you have to meet the test of logic, and that's why it's saying here that you need the words to be extraneous. But since Rabbi Shmuel uses the lo yeh for that gezer shava, it's not available for him to exclude the tvoyom, the mechuser kippurim, and the unei, and that's why he uses that sheri kriv to get to that conclusion. Kol ha-kodashim, shira ben psul, kodem lev shetan, any of the kodashim where the psul happens before they were flayed, ein orotehem the kohanim. Kohanim are not entitled to the orot. They go out with the basar, the srefa. La'charev shaitan, if the psul only happened after they were flayed, orutahem, the kohanim. The basar goes to the srefa, but the orot goes to the kohanim. Omer Rabbi Chanina skana kohanim. Miyamai lo ra'iti or, she would say, the beit ha'srefa. I never witnessed any or, any hide being taken out to the beit ha'srefa. Omer Rabbi Kiva, midrarav lamadnu, shemafshit et ha'bechor. If someone flays the bechor, then nimsa srefa, and then you find out that it was a trefa after you flayed the animal. The trefa wasn't visible beforehand. After you flayed and opened up the animal, you see it was a trefa.
Shioto HaKohanim Be'oro, that the Kohanim get the right to the Or. Because Rabbi Hanina Sgan HaKohanim says, he never saw an Or by itself going out the Sreifa. If you believe that by a Bechor, the Or, after it was taken out, they find it's a Treifa, that that's deemed to be a Psol before Hefshet. Because when he takes off the Or and then looks inside and finds that it's a Treifa, it didn't become a Treifa now. It was a Treifa beforehand. It was a Treifa even before you flayed the Or. So you could have said retroactively, this was a Psol before the Hefshet. And therefore, it should go out to burn. But the skin at that point is already separated away from the Basar. The fact that Rabbi Hanina Sgan HaKohanim gives witness to the fact that he never saw any hides being taken out by themselves shows you that even in a situation where it's found to be a Treifa, the Or still goes to the Kohanim, and we don't deem it as if it was a Psol before Hefshet. It's deemed to be a Psol after Hefshet. Chamim Omrim, Ein Lo Reinu Raya. You can't bring any proof from the fact that you didn't see it. To make a statement that something never happens is a very difficult statement. That means you need to be there 24-7, always have seen it, and never had anything that precipitated a case that was relevant to this situation. So the Kohanim says, maybe that never happened during his lifetime. Or maybe he wasn't there when it did happen. Or maybe he didn't take notice of it. Just because he didn't see it doesn't mean it didn't happen. And you can't prove anything. Ella, you'd say the Beit HaSreifa. They say that it goes out to the Beit HaSreifa. Even though the Or is already separated away from the animal, nevertheless, you'd say the Beit HaSreifa because the Treifa is an indication of a Psul if they have Sheit, and therefore it's going to go the Beit HaSreifa along with the Basar. So the Gemara says over here, Koshel HaZachar Mizbeach Bibsara. That is a quote from our Mishnah that we started today's daf with, that any time the Mizbeach doesn't end up with the Basar, lo zachu ha-kohanim be'ora. The Kohanim are not entitled to the hide. Ve'af agav de'af shetei lo'or kodim zrika. Even if the hide was flayed before zrikat hadam. So it sounds from there that even though the hide and the Basar were separated beforehand, nevertheless, the Mizbeach has to get the Basar in order for the Kohanim to get the Or. Or in essence, they have the same din. Despite the fact that they've been separated, their din is joined. Mani, who's the author of such a position? Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimoni. That's authored by Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Damar ein adam ratzeh al or bifnei atzmo. That zrikat adam does not have the capacity to free the orot from their status of ekdesh and grant them to the Kohanim independent of the basar. Even though they've already been separated, nevertheless, the dam only functions to help the basar. And then the basar is what frees the orot. And over here, since the basar doesn't have a mizbeach, the orot are not released to the Kohanim. Ema Seifa, what are you going to do with our mission over here that says, Kol HaKodeshim Shir Ben Psul Kodem Efshetan. If the psul happens before they're flayed, in orotam the Kohanim, then the orot, the hides do not belong to the Kohanim. La'achar Efshetan, after they've already been flayed, orotehem the Kohanim. The orot go to the Kohanim. So that is Atan the Rabbi. That sounds like Rabbi Damar. Hadam Ratzeh al Or Bifnei Atzmo. Because over here, once they are separated, the Or and the Basar, then the Orot, even if the Basar is found to be Pasul, and doesn't end up in Mizbeach, nevertheless the Orot are released to the Kohanim, based on the Zrikat Hadam. So that's Rabbi's position. Again, we're going to see in a second, in a Braita, this machlok between Rabbi and Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. What the Gemara points out is, now you have a problem. Reisha. The mission we started today's daf on, which is the Reisha, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, is attributed, has attribution, or is authored by Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. Seifa, the mission we just read, is following the position of Rabbi. So how are you going to reconcile that if you have a Mishnah that is authored by two different Tanaim, or the positions of two different Tanaim? Amar Abaye, with the Seifa Rabbi, Reisha Nami Rabbi. Since this Seifa, the mission we just read, is clearly in the position of Rabbi, that means that the earlier Mishnah that we read is also within the position of Rabbi. Umode Rabbi, and Rabbi agrees, She'ein Efshet Kodem Zrika. Rabbi agrees that you don't flay the animal before Zrikat Adam. In normal circumstances, you will not flay the animal before Zrikat Adam, because that would cause a huge delay between the Shechita of the animal and the Zrikat Adam. So, in normal circumstances, the Basar and the Or will always be together. And therefore, that which the Mishnah states is in a normal case. When the Basar doesn't end up in the Mizbeach, then the Orot are not released. Because in almost all instances, the Orot and the Basar are going to be together. It happens to be that if, for whatever reason, there was Hefshet, there was a flaying of the animal before the Zrikat Adam,
then Rabbi says that it will work, the Svikat Adam, to release the Or. And that's what's being said in our Mishnah over here. That's not the normal case. If it happens to happen that way, then we will release it to the Kohanim. And that is because, in general, any psul that is called in Svikah is also going to be called in Hefshet, since the Hefshet is only done normally after the Svikat Adam. And the Mishnah that we start today's daf on, as Rashi says, Dibra Behoveh, speaking about a normal case. It's not speaking about this unusual case where the Hefshet did happen before the Svikat Adam, which is the case that's being addressed by the Mishnah that we just read. Rava Amar, Rava argues on Abai and says, Midereshu Belozeb Rebbe Shimon, since the Mishnah at the beginning of the daf is attributed to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, Seifanami, this Mishnah that we just read as well, Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, is also going to be attributed to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. My kodem Hefshet. So then what does it mean in the Mishnah prior to Hafshata? Umay achar Hefshet. And what does it mean after Hefshet? Meaning that the Mishnah seems to indicate if it happened before it was flayed or after it's flayed, it makes a difference, which implies that Zrikat Adam will free the Or without the Basar. Shinir Ula Hefshet. When it says Lifnei Hefshet, means Shinir Ula Hefshet is the point in time for it was capacity to have Hefshet. And the other one is Achar Shinir Ula Hefshet, after they reached the capacity of Hafshata. So it's not literally before it was flayed or after it's flayed, but it's rather when it reaches the time when you normally flay it, that is post-Zrika. Or is it before the time that you are going to flay it? And that is post-Zrikat Adam. Zrikat Adam is usually what releases the Korban for the Basar to go either on the Mizbeach or to the Kohanim, and the Orot to go to the Kohanim. So that's post-Zrikat Adam. So when the Psul happens post-Zrikat Adam, in that case, even if the Or is still together with the Basar, since it happened post-Zrikat Adam, the Basar had a Hartza'ah for Sha'achat, it was a Shat Kosher for the Basar, that releases the Orot to the Kohanim, and even if the Psul happens in the Basar while the Orot is still on it, we'll do the flaying after the animal is already Psul, and we'll give the Orot to the Kohanim. Because at that point, the Orot have already been released to the Kohanim, and they are no longer subject to Din Mekdesh, because there was a Shat Kosher for the Korban. On the other hand, if it happens before the Zrikat Adam, that's in a case where the Or and the Basar are inseparable, and the Basar doesn't reach a point where it's Heter L'Mizbeach. In that case, even if the Or was separated away from the Basar, the Zrikat Adam will still not help you in that situation, because the Basar never reached a point of Heter before the Or was taken off, and the Or needs the Basar in order for the Or to be released to the Kohanim. Now the Rambam says, my Rabbi, or my Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. You're mentioning these two opinions. What are these opinions, or where do they derive from? Titania, the Braita that brings us this machloket. Rabbi Omer, Adam Miratzeh al-Or b'fnei atzmo. Zrikat Adam has the capacity to release the Or by itself, meaning independently of the Basar. Ukushrima Basar. So therefore, if it's still attached to the Basar, nolad bo psul, if their psul happens, whether it's kodem ben kodem zrika, ben achar zikra, it takes on the same character as the Basar. So if it is on the Basar before the Zrikat Adam, and there's a Psul, just like the Basar goes to the Beit HaSrifa, so does the Or. Post-Zrikat Adam, if they're still attached together, then if the Basar is Psul, so too the Or becomes Psul, and they both are Yotze, the Beit HaSrifa. On the other hand, if the Or is separated away from the Basar, if the psul only happens after that point in time, whether before Zrika or after Zrika, the Or then goes to the Kohanim. The other hand, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, ain't the Dam Ratzel Or b'fnei atzmo. The Dam has no capacity to release the Or without the Basar. Ukushima Basar, therefore, if it's together with the Basar, nolad bo psul kodem Zrika, if there's a psul before Zrika, hariuki yotzebo, then it has the same din as the Basar itself, and since the Basar will never get a shot to head there, because Zrika won't help it, then the Or will never be released as well. And therefore it's Kiyotzebo, and they're both Yotze the Beit HaSrifa. If you did have Shait before the Zrika to Dam, and the Basar goes Pasol, still the Or would also be Pasol, because there's nothing that's going to be Matir the Or. It doesn't have the Basar with which to be Matir itself. Achar Zrika, Urza Basha Achat, Yafshitenu, Voro Lekoanim. If it happens post-Zrikat Adam, Zrikat Adam already released the Basar. By releasing the Basar, it also releases the Or, the Kohanim. And therefore, even if they're still attached, when the Basar becomes Pasol, the Or has a separate din. It can be separated away from the Basar. You can do the flaying even after it is Pasol, and give the hide to the Kohanim. So the Zrikat Adam, as long as the Basar and the Or were together,
releases the or, and at that point in time, if they're still attached, the or can be given to the Kohanim.
So for Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, the only thing matters is whether the basar was pasul before Zrikat Adam or post Zrikat Adam. And for Rabbi, the only thing matters is whether the psul happened before the Hefshet or after the Hefshet.
Okay, we're going to stop here 10 lines down on the top of Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph. Tomorrow is going to continue to try to understand this machloki between Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon by comparing it to other machlokot of Tanaim.